Welcome to another episode of Mike Gabb's Weekly Reads. And in this episode, we're going to talk about recent purchases, which is just four books, but they're big books. And we're going to talk about a listener question, and then we're going to talk about the 90s a little bit, inspired by Rob's observations. And then we'll go over the weekly reads. So that gives you a little agenda of what you got coming up. Just want to talk about my recent journey into James Bond. I'm still enjoying a lot. I'm not getting to watch them all in order because I don't have all the movies. But I have somebody's DVD collection that has most of them. And I've been streaming most of them on HBO, and I'm making it through. I made it through a lot of the World Is Not Enough. Did I do Tomorrow Never Dies? I did one of the other ones. I can never remember that guy's name. I always want to say Timothy Dalton, but it's somebody else. Remington Steele. That's what I remember. But I saw two of his movies. I saw a lot of the Roger Moore. I still need Octopussy. I still need Moonraker and one other one, an earlier one. That one I do have the DVD for, so I could pop that in and watch it. So I'm taking care of all the movies I have streaming, and then the ones that fall out, I'll try to watch them all on this DVDs that I borrowed from a friend, which I was hoping it was the whole collection, but it's not. And go from there. And then I've also been enjoying A Winning Time on HBO, which is talking about the coming of the Lakers with Magic Johnson. And oh my God, I'm having so much fun with that. Yesterday was a snow day. They basically closed all our facilities, and I worked from home. And I can't personally work from home a lot, so I did like 4.5 hours of material that I could do, and then have to take vacation for the rest. But I got some reading done. It was a lot of fun, and I watched the entire four games of the Mountain West tournament, which was pretty neat. Because that's, I'm a Lobo and that's where I'm from. And Lobos won last night. It was a late ass fucking game. Started at 10 p.m., went till 12, and I stayed up for it. I fell asleep during the Nevada Colorado State game, but that little nap gave me enough energy to get me through to the UNM game. Now we'll talk about some recent purchases. Okay, so I had a couple goals this year. I still wanted to finish Spawn. I haven't even got to that yet. Wanted to get the first appearance of Scooby-Doo, the first appearance of Flintstones, and the first appearance of Jetsons. And I will say, I'm proud to say I got first appearance of Scooby-Doo. That's an expensive ass book for shitty copies. Like, you can go on the internet and find out for yourself, but I got a really nice copy with the exception. It's got a square cut out of the top upper corner. It's about, I don't know, a quarter inch by a quarter inch diameter, I think, is what it is. A quarter inch cut like that, no matter how good the cover is or how good the back cover is, it pretty much drops it to a G. And that's what I was expecting, because most of the comics I was looking at, first appearance of Scooby-Doo, have been G. And they're usually $400 to $600. And I got this one for $350. So I was pretty fucking happy about scoring this first appearance of Scooby-Doo, which is really hard to get. Didn't expect to get it, to tell you the truth. I lucked out, and it just so worked out because I was bidding on it another one and I lost it like within the last second, and I was up to 550. So I got a book that is in better shape but has that defect in the cover, and that's the only defect. It looks really good. It would have almost been like a VG fine if not for that defect. But really happy with that one. I also got the first appearance of the Flintstones. That's another one I scored a good deal on. That book that I got is really good. It has some staining in the upper right-hand corner, but it's not like water stain. It was like, I don't know. It's a strange stain. It's not that bad. I think the book is a VG. I really do. If I had to grade it, I really, the minor things that the defects that it has, I would put it at a VG. So I got the first appearance of the Flintstones in VG. I was very happy. I also scored the first appearance of Ronald McDonald in Charlton Comics, number one. I didn't even know this fucking existed. But every now and then, Twitter is wonderful, and somebody posts something I haven't seen before. And I saw this Ronald McDonald, and I'm like, oh my God, I really want the copy of Ronald McDonald. And I really want to complete it. I actually worked at McDonald's. This comic was, a VG copy. It looks good. And then I was like, man, these funny books are really going up in price, and if I want to get them, I got to get them now because they're going up linearly. So I was looking into a lot of things. I was looking into the first appearance of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and they got uncontrollable. A matter of fact, it's kind of hard to find out what that is in comics. But if you look up Looney Tunes and the Merrily Melodies comics, this is the one I came up for as their first appearance from 1940. And my database is listing a near mint at 3,500. I don't know if that's accurate. I'd have to go look at an Overstreet to see. You'll never find this. I have a comment in there in my database. I don't know who put it in there, but this is credible. Extremely rare, less than 200 copies thought to exist. If that's the case, I would think that this price would be worth a lot more than $35,000. But I have been poking into a lot of first appearances. I looked in Woody Woodpecker. It was way too expensive, and I can't even find one. Just happened to be in an early issue of, well, that one's in the Funnies, a comic called The Funnies, and then there's another one called Funny Comics. And it's got a racial character in there. I forget what his name is. And the Panda, Andy Panda, a couple others. And that one is just nowhere to be found, like on the internet, in terms of being able to procure it. So I don't know, like, what it would even run. But I might go to, like, the next volume of Woody Woodpecker, or the first Woody Woodpecker that has his own title or something like that, just so I could get him, because some of these characters are just they're just out of reach, they're I'm trying to get like characters that really matter to me, like the first appearance of Wile E. Coyote, the first appearance of Roadrunner, which is one of my favorite cartoons, the first appearance of Yosemite Sam. Those are the ones that I'd really like, because I've been in this like retro feel mode. Is the Flintstones mean a lot to me. I mean, I'm watching them now. And I'm fascinated by how good they are. I even got Barb to watch one with me because the plot was just like a regular sitcom. It's top notch. And then I've been watching Scooby-Doo's, from my childhood, and I just been loving it. Like these are the cartoons that made me wake up at 5 a.m., watch the fucking bars on the screen, so I wouldn't miss the cartoons that started at 6 a.m., which was usually Rocky and Bullwinkle and Dudley Do-Right before the real programming started at 7 a.m. But yeah, I've been looking for these things, and it's been a fun journey, and I really gotta lock the I'm gonna lock down that Jetsons pretty soon, so I've met that goal. I still need to get on that Spawn what train. And then the other one that I picked up that I watched regularly, I'm still looking at the first appearance of the Munsters and the first appearance of Addams Family. The Addams Family was a like in one of those magazines like the New Yorker, and I'm not targeting them. I'm going to target the first appearance of the Addams Family in comics proper. But the comics existed in magazine format before they were adapted into comics. So I'm looking for that comic version of the Addams Family, and then I also want the Munsters. So you could see like where my mind is going on some stuff. It's going back. They say like when you get older, you start to like de-age a little bit, and it could be that I am. I remember going to Hearst Castle, William Hearst. A rich motherfucker that was into the newspaper industry in California and as a kid, and I would like to go there now that I'm adult to appreciate it more. But as a kid, I appreciated it because we went on this tour with my parents, and I didn't know what it was. I was just like, "This, we're gonna go through a rich man's house. Who gives a fuck?" But we went through the house, and it was just fucking amazing, like just a mansion. With gold tiles, gold toilet bowl. I mean, this rich motherfucker had like five pools. And then we got to an area of the house, which was really interesting. And they said when he got older, he isolated himself into one of the rooms above, and he started painting like cartoon characters on the upper tiles and stuff. And I was like, that's fascinating. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm turning into that. I don't know. But I did pick up the first Beverly Hillbillies, which meant a lot to me. And a couple of weeks ago, I picked up the first Three's Company in Mad Mag, not Mad Magazine, in Crazy Magazine. I have coming to me the first Three's Company in Mad Magazine, and I am going to be looking for the first appearance of Three's Company in Cracked Magazine. And I've talked about how much that Three's Company means to me. It's I love that fucking show so much. So I'm looking for those. This comics collecting is really fun hobby if you can afford it for sure. And it never ceases to amaze me how much joy I get out of these comic books. It's just amazing. So I did get the first appearance of Scooby-Doo, which I didn't think was going to be possible, but I did it. And the first appearance of the Flintstones, another one I didn't think possible. The Jetsons, I thought it was possible. I'm not worried about that one. That one's a little tougher to get ungraded, which I don't want to get graded because I'm just going to crack the fucking slab on it and read the motherfucker. But I'm probably going to be target because of that. I'm going to probably target like a 4.0 or lower of the Jetsons. Well, I might target higher if I can get a raw one, but I might target a 4.0 if it's a CGC book. So, we'll see. And then I got the first appearance of Beverly Hillbillies and Beverly Hillbillies number one from Dell Comics, and the first appearance of Ronald McDonald, which I didn't even plan on getting, but it happened. So there's some recent purchases, and made me go down a rabbit hole. And you know that I'm always chasing different rabbit holes, so who knows what I'll be into next week. But I have been on this rabbit hole for, this is the longest like I've monitored and been patient, like just monitoring. So I get emails when, a new Scooby-Doo number one came out, and I was like, oh, and then I get there, when I finally get home to look at it, it was gone, if it was in my price range, and most of them were not. And I'm still monitoring the first appearance of Kingpin. I really want that book. But yeah, it's fun. Fun stuff. So I think I have one question from Dallow Spicer. So I'm going to go to my Twitter account. Look at my bookmarks. Bookmarks. There we go. And his question is, how many series do you read simultaneously? I probably read 8 or 9 at a time. Currently, Alan Moore, Swamp Thing, Why the Last Man, Hellblazer, Planetary, Riddler Year One, Exo Unconquered, Void Rivals, and Judge Dredd. Those are good, all good books. I've read all of them, except I'm not sure. Cy Spurrier's Hellblazer. That's a pretty current one, I think. I may have read the first two. I haven't read Planetary, believe it or not, but I am reading The Outsiders, which is a knockoff of Planetary. I don't know why. It's has Drummer and has Batgirl and Lucius is Fox's son, who was Batwing at one time, but I don't know which. He's got two sons, so I don't know which one he is. But that's an unusual series. I'm kind of like on along for the ride, but like not getting it totally, not being a Planetary fan, or not knowing much about it. So yeah, we'll see. And then you talk Riddler Year One. I read that. Exo Unconquered I thought was amazing, but I still got one more issue to read. Void Rivals, I've read the first two. I thought they were great. I need to get back into it because I'm all caught up on G.I. Joe, and all the world is tied in, so I need to get caught up on Void and Transformers. And then Judge Dredd, yeah, I've read a lot of Judge Dredd, but not a lot of things that came out of the magazine, 2000 AD. More Judge Dredd I read was from Quality and Eagle Comics, so reprints of stuff. I think that's what that was. And I read a lot of DC Judge Dredd. I think there was IDW Judge Dredd. So I've read quite a bit of Judge Dredd. But that's not your question. Your question is, how many series do you read simultaneously? Because I would say about the same amount, 10. Just for on a Geek Brunch week, I'm reading like 7 to 10 comics, just that are different titles. I'm reading Faust every week. I'm reading Lady Elizabeth Bathory every week now. We just finished Megaton every week we were reading. That was every other week, by the way. And I've been keeping up on a lot of stuff. I was caught up on Amazing, and I'm caught up on Green Arrow and Green Lantern and Action Comics, and enjoying all of it. And then I just recently went to the storage unit, just randomly pulled out a box in the older storage unit, and I said, I haven't read a lot of Dark Horse. I'm gonna pull out the Dark Horse books. And I pulled out Lady Baltimore, which I've never read before. Never realized it was part of a bigger universe with her husband called Baltimore, but in Lady Baltimore, Baltimore's dead. So it makes me really curious to go back and and read the older stuff to see how, Lady Baltimore I fell in love with, and I will continue to get that, not being the biggest Mike Mignola fan. I've dipped my toe in Hellboy from time to time and never stuck with it because it's never, I haven't hated it. I enjoy it, but I'm not the biggest fan. Like, it's threes out of fives, fours out of five sometimes, but it wasn't something to draw me into another title, or to follow. But this Lady Baltimore, I will finish. And then I picked up Jenny Zero, which was an interesting one because that one had a recall on it, and I actually started reading the recall version and realized that doesn't sound right. The page in here is not right, like it jumped. And they had sent me a copy of the new one, that they so I switched the comics and started, reread that, and with the right pages, and enjoyed that. So that was cool. That was by a buddy of mine, Dave Dwanch. We used to, through DC Noise and Geek Brunch, I got to know Dwanch, who was did a podcast around the time that I was doing a pod. Well, I'm still doing a podcast. I don't know if he is, but he used to do Geek Savants with, there was Grant and Super Ugly, and I can't remember the other one. There were four of them. And I would listen to that podcast. It was really raunchy, but he went into the comics world, and he's writing more than he is drawing. But he's written and drawn his own comics, and he worked at Ape, was it Ape? No, Action Lab for a while. But this was a Jenny Zero by him, and it's sort of a kaiju book. And she is the daughter of, well, she didn't even know she was like a potential person that can grow to a kaiju. But it was a really interesting comic book. I really liked it. So I would say about nine. I mean, just in the last day, I've read Lady Baltimore, Jenny Zero, Green Arrow. I got caught up on Green Lantern. And I've been reading New Warriors and Guardians of the Galaxy. And what was the one that I was reading at night? Oh, Wolverine. I started reading Wolverine again, trying to get caught up on that. So, that's quite a handful just in the last week. And every week changes, I'm always changing for my podcast and sometimes not for my podcast. So, hope that answers your question. It's probably about 8 to 10, to tell you the truth. Sometimes it's a lot more on a really, when I read like 60 comics a week, that's probably like 20 to 25 titles. But, yeah. Oh, and I started Spunky Knight, which is an Eros comic, a nasty one, because I have the full run of it. So I started that one. Hope that answers your question. And now I'm going to talk about the 90s briefly. So Rob is talking about like the nine most controversial things of the 90s. And I'm not going to talk into him a controversy. I'm going to talk about the things that blew my mind in the 90s. So I'm setting the framework at what the 90s is, was a transition, early 90s from high school. No. It was more in college. So I was already in college, in the 90s, working on my electrical engineering degree. And I was pretty stressed. It was a very competitive environment, and just like I grew up with sports, I always try to beat people. It's just the way it is. So like my goal was always to have a 4.0. It was always to, I always work harder. I would say I'm not the smartest, naturally smart guy, but I am a guy that works really hard, at what I do and getting work done and stuff like that. So I really worked a lot and I studied a lot. Like I was at the library, I was in the labs. Sometimes I was in the labs doing all-nighters. I was working hard, and plus I was working two full-time jobs to get through school. Which means, like where is your free time? I think my free I work I opened at McDonald's. I don't know why I did this because I didn't need to, but I worked mornings at McDonald's on Saturday and Sunday. So I like opened, I did breakfast and I get home at like 1, and then I would study and then I'd like read at night. I would read comic books at night on the weekend, and then I'd like to, after exams or homework, I'd like to decompress. I would study in the engineering library, and then I cross the street a lot and go to McDonald's or whatever, or go get my teriyaki chicken bowl or whatever I was eating at the time. And I'd go to the comic store across there and see what was on the shelves. I still had my pull box at Doc's News, but I would go, across the street, see what was there, 'cause it was an explosive time in the early 90s. There was just so much material, and the things that matter to me a lot was, the coming of the Image Founders. That mattered to me a lot, and it was explosive and exciting and frustrating because I enjoyed it so much for different reasons than I enjoyed other stuff. I thought the expressionism of their artistic splash pages and the way they showed art was really fascinating. And I followed these artists from the 80s into the 90s. And I was there for, X-Force, and I was there for Uncanny X-Men and Spider-Man for sure. And then followed them into Spawn and Savage Dragon and Wetworks and Cyberforce and Youngblood and Shadowhawk. So like I was all into that. Like and those were a different type of decompression because those took me like 5 minutes to read and just like relax between studying. It was just a good time. But at the same time, another company appealed to me, like really appealed to me, and that was Valiant. Absolutely adored everything they were doing. I get caught up in this world. I thought the storytelling was aggressive and interesting, and the artwork wasn't splashy, but they told a story better than the Image guys. In other words, they're artists. They knew how to do sequential panels and like lay out a good fucking story. So like Valiant scratched an itch. And I also during that time we had the death of Superman. Oh my God. I was so into Superman and I fucking read it like that lasted a decade or not more. When I was reading those triangle boxes, I was just hooked. I mean, I'd get my weekly fix. It was Man of Steel, Adventures of Superman, Superman. What was the other book? I think there was one more. Man of Steel. I know there was Man of Tomorrow for a while. Action Comics. So he had four books of Superman just rotating in there weekly, and you always get your fix of Superman, which led to the death of Superman, which was, oh my God, it was mind-blowing. And it was so exciting to see how excited people were to get to the comic store for the death of Superman. It was amazing. It was such a fascinating time. And at that same time, the Spectre was playing around. Jon Ostrander and Mandrake were playing around with the AIDS virus and the Spectre, and it was absolutely fascinating. Like I was like, holy cow, not only did they give us one of the best glow in the dark covers of all time. I mean, between that and Ghost Rider, There's been some great glow in the dark covers, but that Spectre cover was amazing. And then you had some Vertigo titles that were kicking ass. And I remember shortly after, Batman got his bat broken by Bane, and then I was into all of those Batman War Zones, Cataclysms, all of the Batman ones that did the triangle thing where you're reading everything. You're reading Catwoman, you're reading Batman, you're reading Detective, you're reading Robin, you're reading all these titles, A Shadow of the Bat. I mean, you're just like boom, boom, boom. I couldn't get enough, and it was like just read it. So those were the things like in the 90s that excited me, and then like I got my sci-fi in with the Triumphant Comics. I was like, what the fuck is this? These comic books that have these like fucking numbers in them, like 20,000 in the corner, and it would say like, you have copied 10,000 out of 10,000 or 10,500, and you're like, wow, it's got a collector's a mentality to it to get these serialized comic books. And then we had Malibu launch. Like I got started with Malibu that time, and I was like, that was before Ultraverse. Like I was reading X Mutants, I was reading Dinosaurs for Hire, I was reading The Protectors, and every one shot or mini series that if it was The Ferret, it was Man of War, any of those series that came out, like I was just like gobbling it up, just like I can't get enough of this shit. Like I just, and I had quite the list, but I always managed to study like for 2 hours, decompress, read a comic or two, study for another 2 hours, decompress, read a comic or two, go to work, come off of work, decompress, read two comics. So they were like a form of like get me out of this stressful life kind of thing, and they really worked. And that's why I love the 90s so much. Is I don't remember too many Marvels in the 90s, and I don't know why that is, because I was buying a Marvel. I'm gonna have to dig in and see what was happening at that time to see what was exciting me, but those are the ones off the cuff that just like blew my mind. Was Superman and Batman. I just couldn't get enough. The Flash was great. Green Arrow. I just couldn't get enough DC, and I couldn't get enough Valiant, and I couldn't get enough Malibu, and I couldn't get enough Image. It was an exciting time. So you tell me what you were excited about in the 90s, or if you hated them. I would argue with you, because I think some of the best things ever came out of the 90s. So that was a brief discussion about 90s comics. And now I'm gonna have to do some tallies, so I'll be right back. All right, I'm back, and let's get back into this. So this is for January 22nd through January 28th. The things I watched that week were Zorro on Amazon Prime, which was from Spain. That was really good. I enjoyed that entire thing. I gave a 4 out of 5. Dobie Gillis. I must have had a couple days off during this week, because I read a lot. And I remember on a Sunday or a Saturday, I was bagging and boarding comics, and I was watching, and I was off for a day, and Barb wasn't for something. I don't remember what it was. But I watched like 10 hours with the Dobie Gillis. I got The Beekeeper. That was a movie we went to go see on Saturday that week. That was Jason Statham. That was a fantastic movie. Very fun action. Comics read 36 total. That was a good week. 5 Valiant, 5 Marvel, 2 Image, 10 Dynamite, 4 DC, 4 Dark Horse, 3 Boom, and 3 Blood Moon. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. I had a couple in here. Army of Darkness Forever, number 1. This one I got because I don't normally get a lot of the Army of Darkness, but it's Tony Fleece, and I really like his stuff. And I was kind of underwhelmed with this one because he was rehashing like all of the movies and not really starting the new story. At least that's the way I felt. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. I was entertained, but I was like, I've seen all this before, so I didn't feel like he was adding anything more. That does not to say that with issue two, there's maybe he's just setting the stage and that's the way he chose to set the stage. Maleficent, this is the Disney stuff, 4 and 5. Really, I would say it's a 4 out of 5 for art, like the artistic layouts, and then a 3 out of 5 for story, but I have to drop it down to a 3 out of 5. So it's really a brilliant story. Like, you get captivated in it. There's not a lot of meat and potatoes in it, but the art is just so beautiful that it keeps you going. The next 3 out of 5 surprised me. This was, I wasn't buying this book, but I wanted to buy it, and I bought it after the fact that it became popular. It's the first appearance of Bad Batch. So those of you who follow the show know that I've watched all of the cartoons on Disney of the Bad Batch. And I wanted their first appearance, and it wasn't a Dark Horse Star Wars. And then you say, well, Mike, don't you buy all the Star Wars? Yes, all the Marvel Star Wars, not the Dark Horse Star Wars. So I bought this just to make sure I had the first appearance of Bad Batch, because that's a key. But it really didn't, like, the story was just average. It didn't really add something or make me feel like that was a really good episode of the cartoon in comic form, you know. But I'm glad I have it, and I actually have both covers for that. The 4 out of 5s, we have Creed, The Next Round. This is takes place several years after the last Creed movie, where his daughter is becoming a boxer and he's got a conflict with his sister, and his daughter wants to become boxing and he wants to protect her, and she wants to go fight somebody that he doesn't think she can fight, and she uses the sister to help train her, and he's got a conflict with his sister, so there's a lot of internal conflicts, but it was pretty interesting. Adventures of the Planet Apes 2 through 5. This is a rehash of the movie, but I've only watched it once, and it's an amazing rehash because I'm like thoroughly entertained in seeing some of the things executed differently and not remembering how it was executed in the film. I thought it was fantastic. I maybe 5 of the 11 issues, and I was reading this in Omnibus, and I bought an Omnibus, and it was the most expensive Omnibus I've ever bought. And I don't know why it was so goddamn expensive, because you know Marvel now, through the purchase of Fox, owns 20th Century Fox. So they own Predator, they own Aliens, and they own Planet of the Apes. So I don't know why the Omnibus for 11 issues was so expensive. Well, these, what I do know about this though now, and having friends on Twitter that are educating me about Planet of the Apes, is that this colored version was originally in the black and white magazines. And I do own Planet of the Apes. I own like 3 or 4 of the magazines, but I do own Boom's reprinting of all the magazines, Planet of the Apes, that Marvel did. Well, this is just the colorized version of that, and I will say that the colors are very nice in this collection, and I'm very entertained by it for sure. So that was Adventures of the Planet of the Apes, and then I got into Dynamite's Kong: The Great War. This is like a World War I. Just soldiers that end up on Monster Skull Island or whatever the hell it is. And King Kong's rarely in it, but this guy is trying to survive along with the soldiers that are there after his boat has been destroyed. And they're trying to survive just with all these dinosaurs and insects and everything else killing all his men. And Kong is there. It is really an interesting story, even though there's not a lot of King Kong. It's fascinating to see these one World War II soldiers trying to survive. I really enjoyed it from Dynamite Comics. This one's had some a really sporadic schedule, which is very unlike Dynamite Comics. We had Adventures of Superman 427. I might not have counted that one. Let's see. One. And then did I count four? Yeah. This one, I have to look up what it was, but I think it was an inner gang issue where Superman had to go to like Korak or wherever it was and get hit by something that was messing with his powers, if I remember correctly. And I just randomly just started reading this issue, and it's one of those issues that I was reading back in the times that I was talking about the 90s. I was really excited about, so that was fun. White River Monster from Blood Moon. This is the more I read from this guy, the more I think he's an investigator of cryptoids or something, because they're based in some kind of fact of these monsters. And then he tells a story about them. Like, it's really incredible whether you're reading Blood Tree or you're reading White River Monster or the other Ice Canyon Monster. God, I love this. And the way it ended is like, I thought it was over after the third issue because the main guy you're following is gone. And then his sister gets involved and goes looking for him because there's these. This married couple that is essentially like sacrificing people as they go look for the monster to the monster. It's fucking insane. I thought this was a great comic. All Eight Eyes from Dark Horse. This is fantastic as well. This is like only a few people know like what's really happening in New York undergrounds. And there involves these giant spiders, but everybody's in denial. And when they do find one of those spiders, they hide it because they don't want everybody to panic. But it is fantastic, and it's a story of this guy who's been fighting the spiders and kind of like his apprentice, and that apprentice has a girlfriend, and it is a really good comic. I'd recommend it. All Eight Eyes, 2 through 4. We have the New Warriors number 3. Been really enjoying the these comics from these were in the 90s. So like we're talking about the 90s. Okay, I didn't read New Warriors in the 90s, but I'm reading them now and it's fucking awesome. So you got Mark Bagley and God, I can't remember the writers. Fabian Azizia? I think so. And I should look it up. New Warriors. I own these. I bought this on a full run way back and never read it. But it's sitting in a box. I bought it on eBay a long time ago. 1990. So there you go. That was an exciting comic. Really good. And so was The Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm reading that one concurrently, but this is Gentech hires the Thinker to find out more about the New Warriors, but the Thinker finds out he's interested in the future of this group and does not want to reveal to Gentech their identities or give them more information, and that's what he was hired to do. We got the 5 out of 5s. There were a lot this week. We have Lord of the Jungle from Dynamite, Volume 2, number 3 through 5, and I thought I had all of them. I had to go back to the storage unit to get 6, and I just read it this week. But, this Tarzan story was fucking amazing, told by Dan Jurgens. You're talking about a writer that did the death of Superman coming to Tarzan, and he did a fantastic fucking job. I mean, he told a great Tarzan story about him befriending some guy and later having to try to save him and making a deal with this predator that's gonna kill his ape family. And then kill this other guy, and he has to get a jewel from this hidden location where nobody knows where this secret city is, but he has to go find it, make a deal with that person, get the jewels, and then give them to this guy who then takes the jewels and then slaughters the apes anyway and shoots Tarzan thinking he's dead, but he comes back and then it shows him many years later and how he tries to get those jewels back for the tribe that lent them to him. So, a fantastic story, Lord of the Jungle from Dynamite Comics. If you're a Tarzan fan, please read this. I think you'll really enjoy it. Let me know what you think. And the guy who's drawing it looks like John Buscema. I mean, tell me that this guy's art doesn't look like John Buscema. I'll get his name so you guys can tell me. But I'd like you to see for yourself. So Dynamite obviously can't call the book Tarzan for whatever reason, but they can tell a Tarzan tale. His name is Bernito Gallego. Gallegos. But I don't think he's got the S on it. So Gallegos. He's amazing and his art looks. Dynamite is usually they pay the writers. Like you get Gail Simone or you get Dan Jurgens or whatever. You get some big writers to tell some stories about pulp heroes and great stuff. But the art is always sort of lagged, and except with the exception of Jonathan Lau, anything he touches is just fucking phenomenal. Or usually when Garth Ennis is around Dynamite, he gets great artists. But lately, and this goes for DC and Marvel, there's a lot of names that are showing up that I don't know if they're getting from overseas because they're cheaper or what. But they're doing a fucking goddamn good job, that's for sure. Green Lantern War Journal 3 through 5, this series is fucking amazing by Philip Kennedy Johnson. And the art, this is one of the guys that's just Green Lantern War Journal. Another 5 out of 5. This is Montos. This guy's art is fucking badass. Like it's just amazing. And the story is fantastic. Like if you read the previous volumes of Green Lantern, John became almost godlike. He was with the New Gods and he got part of the source in him and all this stuff. Well, now he's back at Earth. The United Planets have taken away all the Guardians from 2814 or the Earth or origin, and they form their own core by the power source that John created. So all the batteries were destroyed. The whole emotional spectrum destroyed, and then John, because his godlike abilities, restored a source, and now he's being hunted by other Green Lanterns that are working for the United Planets, and they're like, "You have a ring," and he's like, "No, I don't." He's generating fucking power from his own body now, and Hal generated his own ring, and oh, this is just so good, and you see Kilowog in these books, and you're like, what the fuck's going on? He's just like a projected image. What's going on? Well, in Green Lantern number 7, you find out what happened to Kilowog, and it was fucking great. Fantastic. This book and that one going hand in hand, kicking some fucking ass, and it's right up my alley, and John is. Oh man, more people need to read this, but I know not enough are. Same with X-O Manowar Unconquered. This comic book, Liam Sharp, oh my God, doing X-O Manowar. It's a dark look at a space opera that's going on where he gets sucked in by a spaceship that these Romans are in. So you got to remember where. He's a fuck Arrak, son of thunder. XO Eric was in the barbarian times and he fought Romans. Well, now the Romans are in a fucking spaceship driven by a powered by a fucking geomancer. And like our they captured him. Oh, this is such a good comic. So good. Then you have at the top of the 5 out of 5s G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, 302 and 303. Larry Hama just knows how to scratch my itch of just telling these multi-threaded stories, and I'm just like sucked in, and the art is fucking amazing, and I'm so glad that when Skybound took over the property, they just kept Larry Hama. I mean, I'm in heaven right now with the G.I. Joe properties, with Cobra Commander and the other one. So this comic book though is the core for my soul on that property. Keep Larry Hama telling stories, man, and he's they got me. So that was a great week. And the 5 out of 5s: Lord of the Jungle, Volume 2, 3 through 5; Green Lantern War Journal, 3 through 5; Exo Man of War Unconquered, 1 through 5; and G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, 302 through 303, 5 out of 5s. So that was for January 22nd through January 28th. We then get into January 29th through February 4th. I gotta check my phone real quick to see if Barb is on her way. Make sure my ringer's on. So we have for that week, the 4 out of 5 is Ahsoka, on Disney. We saw that. Fantastic that I completed Rebels before Ahsoka, because it takes off after Rebels, sort of, many years later. And your appreciation for what's in Ahsoka is based on all the characters that were introduced in Star Wars Rebels cartoon. So you will not get the same like chills or excitement if you don't know who these characters are and you never saw the cartoon. So those of us that have seen the cartoon, you're gonna be like, oh shit. It continues from where the cartoon left off. So yeah, it was awesome. The 5 out of 5 was the Zorro TV series. I completed it, the 2024. I'm looking forward to the next season, and they're supposedly making it, and it's coming out in 2025. So looking forward to that. There are comics, total of 45. 5 Marvel, 30 Image, 4 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 1 Blood Moon, 3 Boom, 1 Archie. So we're going to start at the 3 out of 5s. We had Nine Circles Martial Law. This was the first Blood Moon that I've rated a 3 out of 5. But an ex-angel as a cowboy confesses to a priest and defeats some demons. Later in Purgatory, that angel is there to help one of the guests. So there wasn't a lot there, but set up. It wasn't told as fluid as I liked, but it was there and I enjoyed it. So we'll see where that goes in future issues. We have Marvel Zombies, Black, White, and Blood. You had 3 zombie tales, and the best one I remember is the Aunt May turning into a zombie and Peter having to deal with that. That was fucking awesome. We then have the 4 out of 5s. We have Stoneheart, 4 through 6. Stoneheart accepting the magic and her destiny, or is she going to continue to deny it? She gets her friend that betrayed her out of his alcoholism and seems to be working with the witch, who might be the enemy, who might not be. This one ended, and I don't know when the volume 2's in sight. Or no, maybe this is the one that didn't end. No. This one ended and it left me hanging. Inkblot is the one that has more issues I need to read. So we have Dark Blood, that's the Emma Kubert Stoneheart. Dark Blood number 3. This gives more story about our hero and his current situation, where a sheriff is hunting him down for something he did not do. It gives some of his backstory during World War II. We have Hawkgirl 3 through 6, the DC Comics. Hawkgirl, and Galaxy team up with Batman and later the female Supergirl, Natasha, and others to track down the killer who is trying to get Nth Metal to return home. Very much how like Sinestro is trying to get powered, like he's doesn't have his yellow ring anymore, but he got the rage to try to go home to his home world. But that was better than I thought it would be. I saw a lot of Hawkman critics slamming it and slamming the writer, and I thought she did a good job. I really do. Even though she focused a lot more on Galaxy, which I think is her creation, than she did on Hawkgirl, it was still a damn good Nth Metal and Hawkgirl story. We have Apache Delivery Service, number one from Dark Horse. A Navajo Indian in Vietnam is a spotter for the bombers. He is captured by someone who wants to help him find gold. Inkblot number two through four, a magic cat is going through fantasy realms defeating dragons and Loch Ness monsters and Egyptian gods. That's an Emma Kubert book. We have King Spawn 25 through 28. Here's where all the Image books came in because I just getting caught up on Spawn. The Spawn and Wanda issues before they march into battle. This is they're heading towards hell, and Wanda's there going with them. Scorch number 21 through 25. Jessica comes back from the dead and is reunited with her entire team. And they're marching in hell as well and going into battle. Gunslinger Spawn 23 through 27. We got works on tracking down his old enemies and runs into allies. It looks like I didn't finish the write-up on that one. Spawn 344, 349, all the factions fighting for the throne of hell. Catalyst, Spawn's group, Clown, Sin, and others. So you got all these little factions that are fighting for the throne, and I have the comics now. Of all these comics that I think determine who gets the throne. So I'm excited for that, and reading all of these, Spawned said, "Hey, you got to get back on finishing your collection." And I put in my notebook how much I still had to go, and it's quite a road. And there are other titles that I still need to get along that road that are outside of Spawn, but I think I should finish Spawn first. And time is not helping me with those issues. Those particular ones I'm missing are have definitely gone up in the last year, so that sucks. We got Pep number 10. This is one of my oldest Archie comics in my collection. I love the Golden Age style, and I'm fascinated by how kids contributed to the outfits of Katie Keene. And one of them was from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was very happy to see that. Starhawk, that is a comment for Guardians of the Galaxy. What am I doing? Veronica was sick, and him and Mr. Lodge bond before he accidentally destroys their house. That was a good story. That was like the lead-in on Pep. But there are so many stories in Pep. It's like you get a Reggie story, you get an Archie story, you get a Katie Keene story, you get like just different stories, and it's like an anthology. And there's some two-pagers of comics in there as well. Guardians of the Galaxy number four. This is the Jim Valentino version before they became Groot and all, that Rocket Raccoon team. With the guardianship destroyed, the team was able to teleport back to Corgi, which was is a, like a planet with like these dog-looking characters, or they look dog-looking planet. Starhawk called upon Firehawk, who takes out Taserface. And if you watch the movies, you know where Taserface came from. Starhawk takes over the Stark ship and returns to searching for Cap's shield, but so is this group called the Force, and they're going to clash later. You got Nightclub, 4 through 6. Most of those issues were $1.99 from Image Comics. This is was a great vampire story, like vampire superheroes, teens lose their cop mentor when other vampires kill him. They tell the kids they must kill their parents or they will die. The kids hunt down the vampires and expose them to daylight. Two of them fall in love, and the third one feels left out. It was a good story. Looking for the continuation of that Mark Miller story. Torrent number five. This was a good Image superhero story too. She leaves her son with the grandparents and goes after Skeleton without powers. She kills him and hands Cracker Jack to her sidekick. We got Specs three through four. These are based a story based on the ad that you used to see in comic books for these X-ray specs, or these specs that would make your wishes come true. Well, that's what this one is, specs that make your wishes come true. Ted is wanted for a murder of the kid they wished away with the specs. He eventually gets off, and Kenny confesses his love for Ted before him and his family leave. Many years later, Kenny is at the funeral of Ted. We got Spine-Tingling Spider-Man, everyone. This isn't a digital one that I'm reading because I don't own the physical copy. A horror take on Spider-Man that was really well done. Has me questioning, did I really want this? Probably. But I'm going to continue reading that digitally. We got Miles Morales 1 through 2. I'm reading this digitally as well. This is, I think, the current volume of it. Has a run-in with the Scorpion and is being a being to doubt. He's doubting being with his friends because he thinks he's keeping them in danger. Later, he teams up with Misty Knight to go track somebody down. The 5 out of 5 is Windy and Willy. This is basically what Dobie B Gillis became after the Dobie Gillis show was canceled. DC had some more issues in the can and decided to call it Windy and Willy. I don't remember which one's which. I think Windy is Maynard and Willy is Dobie. I don't know why DC named Dobie Gillis to Win Windy and Willy. Maybe because they lost the license. Well, I did find out that the show ended and they just make the change. I have always loved Dobie Gillis, and I'd watch it on UHF when I was a kid. Dobie falls for a rich girl, but she wants nothing to do with him. Her father is making a deal with Dobie's father to supply goods to his restaurant. The mother says no, but when she finds out her husband's ex-girlfriend's involved, they get Maynard and Dobie to pretend they are graduates from Harvard and Princeton. And then he runs into the girl that he was picking up because that's the daughter of the rich guy that wants to open up a restaurant. Well, that doesn't pan out. For it looks like it doesn't pan out, but because of what's gonna happen with the groceries, but it really is messed up because of like licensing and zoning of the restaurant. So it is kind of funny. So, just to summarize, the 5 out of 5 that week was Windy and Willy number 3. We had 45 comics that week, and there's some good reading and got caught up on Spawn just to summarize it. So I want to thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can find me at geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you can find all my podcasts, Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, and anything else. And then I'm still putting out DC Noise Podcast Retro until I get a co-host, which I'm working on. I was thinking of doing it solo until, since Kyle left, but I was like, I do that already in Mike M's Weekly Reads, so why would I just want to go solo, like just to talk about DC when I'm already going to talk about it in this show? So, until I have a co-host, it kind of has lost its purpose. And I've been posting old episodes, like the first episode I did with Eric. And man, I was professional back then. I actually did research instead of just fucking doing things off the cuff. It's more professional. But if you want to check that out, it's at DCNoisePodcast.com. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on X and on Blue Sky. And my email is mike@comicbooknoise.com. So that's all my contact information, and I want to thank you for listening. And send some more questions. Don't let Dallo get all the questions in. I need more, and I want to thank Dallo again for supporting the show. I have a handful of listeners in this show, but I think they listen to it regularly and are excited to get another episode. And I'm excited to do them because it just helps me vent. And vent my excitement when I can't always vent it, especially on a Friday when I'm feeling the best about life because I'm entering the weekend and ready to decompress for 2 days before I get stressed the fuck out again. So I want to thank you guys, and you guys take it easy, and I hope all is well with you and health and everything else. Take care.